I wanted to wrap up very quickly Philippians, because believe it or not, what Paul says at the very end of Philippians really does meld very well with the spirit of this church right now in this season. And I promise to be very, very brief, because I want to give an opportunity for others to share testimony of what God has done and what they have seen in these last few days with Bethlehem Walk. But if you have your Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to go from verses 10 through 23. I'm not going to read the whole thing for the sake of time, but we are going to go through this today and finish Philippians. And join us next week as we begin a new series called The Greatest Hits. We're going to go through a three-week Christmas series looking at some of the most famous passages of the Bible that have inspired some of the most beautiful songs ever written, and anticipation of what we celebrate in a special way in this season. But I want to make very quickly four observations about Philippians 4, 10 through 23. And the first observation that Paul makes in this passage is the opportunity to give. So many of you have given so much of your time, your efforts, your resources the last few days, and it wasn't unlike what Paul experienced here in Philippians when he writes to this church at the very end of his letter, giving them thanks for their gift. As Paul brings this letter to a close, he puts forth a great deal of effort to thank this church to which he writes in Philippi for their generosity and support. He describes first in verse 10, "But I received and rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." This is talking about the gift. This concern is a nice way of referring to a gift that this church had given him. And this church was a giving church in Philippi and had given consistently to Paul's ministry. However, immediately after recalling their gift and providing an account of their history of giving, Paul explains how he viewed his perceived needs and perseverance in those seasons of lack. He writes in verse 11, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." Friends, as with any event that you pull off, especially this magnitude, there are going to be hiccups. There are going to be things that come against it, especially when the enemy that we fight against doesn't want us to share the gospel in mighty ways. And certainly we have had our share of things that have tried to steal, focus from, distract, or even totally unhinge our efforts in Bethlehem Walk. It wasn't unlike Paul's ministry. Remember, he's the guy that went through shipwrecks and imprisonments and all things. And he says here, look, thanks for the gift, but no, I want you to know I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances come my way. This verse indicates that while Paul appreciated the gifts given, the efforts put forth that went to support his ministry, he ultimately trusted that he could depend on God to be content despite the scenario he faced, whatever that scenario might be. And certainly, friends, as much as you are required to pull off something like Bethlehem Walk, know that without God, it's all for naught. If he doesn't go before us and with us, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't even take our next breath. And not only had the apostle learned to be content in any circumstance, but he had also learned to adapt, to get along in any context. Notice what verse 12 says. "I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." How is Paul able to do this? This ability was afforded Paul by his position in Christ. Like the contentment mentioned earlier, Paul's adaptability to any situation was because he knew Christ, the all-sufficient one. This gave him a hopeful view in his lack and a realistic view in his abundance, affording him the right theology of both suffering and excess. If Christ is the end-all, be-all, it doesn't matter what you either don't have or do have in great supply. And this realization causes Paul to reach the following conclusion in verse 13, very famous verse, where he says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Now, this popular reference is often misused and abused in such a way that people get to suggesting that one can do anything with Christ's empowerment and blessing. However, the context here is clear. Paul is speaking of spiritual empowerment that brings contentment and adaptability in all circumstances for the furtherance of God's will for one's life. To put it another way, Paul could trust that Christ would strengthen him to do all that God would have him do, despite the conditions he faced. Nevertheless, Paul continues, "You have done well," verse 14 reads, "to share with me in my affliction." After explaining his theology of dependency and Christ's sufficiency, Paul commends this church for their willingness to give. This leads to the second observation, the faithfulness to give. The faithfulness to give in verses 15 through 17. He says in verse 15, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone." This church was unique in its giving. It was first to give, and it had consistently given as much as she had opportunity to. And not only was the church in Philippi early to give, they were consistent in their support. For even, verse 16 says, "In Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." However, careful again not to elevate the gift itself in an unhealthy dependency on material gain, Paul writes in verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." The apostle was more excited for the reciprocal blessing the church could expect because of their giving than he was the gifts given to him. You see, the gifts were an investment in the work of God and in their future. Some believers may have mistakenly assumed that Paul sought gifts, but he clearly states here that he sought the blessing that it would bring the giver. And this leads to the third observation. I told you I've moved very quickly through this. After the opportunity to give is highlighted and the faithfulness of the church in Philippi to give is celebrated, Paul verifies that the gift has been received, the verification of the gift. "I have received everything in full," he says, verse 18, "and have abundance. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent." And friends, I praise God that so many from this church and others have risen to the occasion to help us in a special way, both behind the scenes and in every which way, not just over the last week, but over the last months, to prepare, to help us as we've been on gospel mission in a special way in this season. Not only was such a gift a blessing to Paul here in his story, but it was a fragrant aroma, he says in verse 18, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. In other words, their giving to the gospel mission and ministry was not merely a practical exchange of goods, it was an act of worship. It's an act of worship with which God himself was pleased. No doubt their gifts were especially fragrant to the Lord because they came from a place of sacrifice, as many in the church in Philippi were not people of means to give to the ministry. To give to the ministry was an act of faith that really cost this church something. And this pleased the Lord. And I know what giving and partnering and volunteering costs people, what it costs families. The time spent here, the long hours of grueling work. But did you know that you could worship the Lord by tending to animals? By shoveling poop out of their... Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. We'll have Dominique edit that out. Shoveling refuse out of the containers. You know you can worship God by refilling tiki torches with diesel fuel. You know you can worship God by driving a golf cart around and helping someone who's unable to walk well through Bethlehem. You know you can worship God by making sure the costumes are in order or feeding people, volunteers. You know you can worship God by parking cars. Friends, all of these are acts of worship to the Lord. Just as the many things that this church was doing were acts of worship. They cost something, but it pleases God. It's a fragrant aroma to Him. And with this in mind, Paul encourages the church, saying, in recognition of their sacrifice and what it's costing them to give to the mission of God, "And my God," verse 19, "will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." What a blessing that is to know. And not just in Bethlehem Walk season, but as a church in general. When we give to the ministry and mission of this church, to know that God's work will never suffer want of God's provision according to God's will for God's glory. This leads to the fourth and final observation, the greeting to the giver. Paul concludes the letter with a greeting to the givers. He writes in verse 21 and 22, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Everyone Paul can think of near where he is, send their greetings to this special church. And Paul's last words in the epistle implored the grace of God. He writes in verse 23, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." He ends, in fact, like he began, with a prayer for grace. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Here in verse 23, spirit stands for the entire person, and fittingly, Paul reminds this church as he signs off that every good thing that they had came because of God's grace. What a beautiful letter. What a partnership of ministry. And friends, whether it's first century missions in Philippi and the surrounding region of Macedonia, or whether it's 21st century missions and outreach here in Goochland County in the greater Richmond area, that same grace of God goes with His people as they give and as they partner together in the mission of God to share the gospel of God.